She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Hello there from the wilds of upstate New York. Tonight, we got a goodie, folks. I'm Corby Mitlide, and that's cool enough, but tonight we got Andrew Brewer. Andrew is known as the rock and roll psychic, and the thing that I love about him, is he good? Yes, he's good, but fabulous raconteur, take no prisoners, no nonsense, has a good business background and has done other things in his life just like me. How can I not love this man? Hi, Andrew. Glad you're here.
Corby, darling, you were so complimentary to me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, one of the things that I really love about you is successful elsewhere. It's not that, you know, you were working at Wally World and you said someday, I have to bring in better money, so let me throw a few cards. Give them a little taste of what you've done before, which gives you chops.
Well, you know, I mean, the irony is that for me, being a psychic is a tremendous downer for me in terms of money. And that, you know, I mean, my background's, I guess, a little atypical in that I was a TV psychic 20 years ago. In 1992, if you were up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you may have seen me on TV because I was doing an infomercial with Eric Estrada and Jenny Lee Harrison, half of, you know, General Hospital, for, you know, psychics, for Cabrina Kincaid. Then I stopped completely, and because I was a relatively verbal guy, I was able to talk my way into business jobs, and because of the dot-com era, I was able to talk my way into some really nice business jobs. So I was an executive at Enron. I was an executive at Chevron. I was an executive at Kaiser Permanente. I worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency. I worked for a couple other big companies. I made about $300,000 a year as a management consultant. So for me, being a psychic is really not for the money. But yeah, you know, so, I mean, the thing is, I think it's interesting to see how my intuition really helped me in business because, what you know, I did a lot of test design and change management and problem management things within IT departments for these big companies. And just like your third chakra would light up to me if there was an issue, what would happen was when you looked at the architecture for the testing diagnostics, problem areas like legacy systems within that software food chain, if you will, would light up to me in the same way. So it became that the needle in the haystack wasn't as big of a haystack, and that made it really easy for me. I mean, it was amazing. It was kind of fun. But, you know, so I did that, kind of a little break, just to make me more entertaining. And then, in my mid-50s, I became a film actor. So I did that, too.
So what was the whole thing with Psychic that knocked on your door and said, hello, we're taking Pride of Place now?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that, like anything, I mean, you have a really unusual background, too. I mean, Ivy League education. And so, you know, we're coming at it from this kind of intellectual curiosity, which I think makes it really interesting. You know, so you find this marriage between the intellectual approach and this intuitive approach, and I think that it's a combination. I mean, I've said that, you know, it's as much Sherlock Holmes as it is Nostradamus in lots of cases, and I don't see a problem with that. I mean, I never make claims like I'm 98% accurate or any of that madness because I just don't think that that's true. You know, you look at it, you make your best, you know, case assessment of it, and then really, as you know, Corby, it's the conversation between you and the person you're talking with. That's what really is important, is to have something meaningful come out of that conversation and to try to be helpful. I mean, I make a lot of public predictions, probably much more so than the average person, and my track record's pretty good, but it's not infallible. But for business things, I'm really good, and I think that the reason that I'm really good at making predictions about the economy and stocks and things like that is because business seems to be something that I'm just inherently, I guess, good with. You know, where other things maybe I'm not as strong, and I don't have the same kind of way to understand it.
That makes perfect sense to me. It's what I try to explain to people. It's why we're not all good at the same thing. Spirit looks at what it has to work with. Yes, I've been an executive recruiter, so can I counsel people in doing their business and an entrepreneur and all of that? Yes, of course I can. I am a writer. I love history. So when I see an outfit, I can say it's a hobble skirt, which dates it to about 1912, instead of, well, she's in an old-fashioned skirt. That could be hundreds of years. And as far as your accuracy thing, well, you know what I always say. Even the best of us is only about 85% accurate. The only one 100% accurate is God, and he's not doing radio psychics this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. And you raise a really good point in that what happens is, for me, I see these movies in my head, right? And I don't always know what those movies are about or how to describe them. And so when it comes to business, because I understand business, I have, in essence, a stronger vocabulary, so my chance of describing the thing that I see or the process that I feel is there goes up just because I have the semantics to deal with. And maybe in some other thing, I'm like totally clueless about it, just life in general. So I have to do the most vague kind of conversation. So even though I may be getting the same exact level of input, my ability to talk about it's not the same. And I think that makes a big difference, truly.
It really does. You might as well go to someone who knows their stuff. And that's one of the reasons you have to do a little research into your intuitive before you go to one. Now, you have surfed, if you will, from career to career to career, you know, never losing your balance. And you have moved away from some of the psychic stuff. You said, you know, biting the hand that feeds you. But it's a matter, I think of it as grafting another branch onto your tree. So instead of doing constant psychic stuff, you're also doing something that is more health and fitness related, which frankly, if you want to talk metaphysics, makes the sense. This is your vehicle. It's the only one you have. So if you want to complete your journey in this incarnation, you got to take care of it. There's your intro. Hit me, baby.
Well, I mean, I think that that's absolutely true. There's a couple of wrinkles to that. One is that I was an executive at a hospital, and my daughter died as a result of a medical error, and I really, one of the reasons that I came back to being a psychic was because I left the business. I stepped away from it for a bit. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that most people are not fully in balance. I mean, if you look at the optimal way for people to live, and what really people are coming to psychics about is trying to find a balance. And without understanding the physical component, you're missing part of the picture. I mean, there has to be this body-mind-spirit integration. And so mm-hmm. I look at, you know, I mean, I think it's important to have a sense of health and a sense of, as you take care of yourself, it changes the dynamics within your life. It changes your dependencies. I haven't been to a doctor in eons, you know, like 20, 30 years. And I think that's because I've made certain types of choices in my life, and I've learned to adapt, and partly it's political too, and so I think that we do want to find that balance point. We want to be secure within ourselves. We want to be ethical, but we also want to be healthy. We want to have energy. We want to have, you know, we want to be able to play. We want to be able to run and jump and, you know, have sex and do all sorts of things. We need to be healthy for that, and I think it's important to have that balance. So what I try to do, I tend to be an extremist at times. I mean, I tend to kind of jump into something, but I don't want to stay in that one thing. I mean, life is too magical to just be one thing. And so I change, and I realize from a career standpoint, you know, sometimes I go backwards, but I also have some happy experiences too. And I think that the willingness to kind of take life and enjoy it, I think you do take some chances. But without having a strong a physical body and without having a certain element of physical health, then you don't have those opportunities. So I'm trying to find, forgive the pun, the happy medium that balances those things out.
Okay. Now, so there's diet and there's exercises, there's other stuff. Where's your main focus right now?
I mean, I really think it is in the integration. I mean, I'm looking at doing, I'm still a psychic, even though it's a little more complicated to get to me. I didn't stop doing psychic readings. I made it so that people couldn't just go and hit a PayPal button and automatically get me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In essence, I changed the dynamics. I want to do more with business because I enjoy business. I think that we're moving into a period. I predicted, and I don't think it was that difficult to predict, but a lot of people just would not accept it. Back in 2006 and 7, I said the housing market's going to crash, and there's going to be a lot of issues that come out of that. And but now I believe that we're turning the corner where there's a potential for prosperity. There's a potential for what I believe is like a second .com coming down the road here in the next year or so. And so I believe that we're in a space culturally and socially where the kinds of skills I have can be more useful and not just being, you know, Andy Brewer clairvoyant. So I'm doing a few different things. You know, I want to do different things. I don't like being just pigeonholed in one little bucket. You know, I tend to rock the boat a little bit, but I get a lot of attention from doing that too. So, you know, it's there's a balance. Did that answer your question? I mean, I don't know if...
Yeah, it starts. I mean, you look, the two of us would need a six-hour show to get everything done.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I would talk, and it would still be like, you know, next Thursday, and, you know, the next guest would come on, and we'd be, like, getting, you know, broomed out of the studio here, even though we're not in a studio. That's a different story. But
I know. We're out in the ether.
We're out in the ether.
You know, there's something that we started talking about that is fun on the show, and people, you know, I've been a little bit of a celebrity. I'm in Robert Schwartz's book. Under my legal name, I wrote for the graphic novel series ElfQuest for 10 years. So I know what it is to have fans. You know, God bless kids who loved the Wolf Riders and howl at me like wolves when I am at a convention. I mean, that's part of the fun.
Darling, I would do that for you anyway. So, I mean, I totally get that.
I didn't pay him a 20 for that audience. I really didn't.
No, I mean, that's totally spontaneous and truthful.
Okay, see, he's intuitive and he knows, you know, say nice things to the host, real good. Seriously. But if there's anything that I don't want to do, it's read for someone famous. It's for the same reason that I'm not particularly a groupie and I don't want to go meet somebody famous. It's just my thing. If I don't have anything to offer them, why am I bugging them? And reading for a celebrity comes with so many hashtags, bells, and whistles that I think that I couldn't really do as good a job as I'd want to.
There's no difference. I mean, there are a few. I won't say that there haven't been a few who had, let's say, attitude, all right? But for the most part, they're no different. Now, the beauty of reading someone who's an artist, and I mean, the reason that I'm was called the Rock and Roll Psychic had nothing to do with me being a musician. It came about because I had musician clients. And so it was like the rock and roller dudes psychic, and so that's how that name came about. And I liked it and kind of ran with it. So I've had clients who were actors and rock stars and TV producers and millionaires and things like that. And sometimes they're kind of cantankerous. But for the most part, I think it's you know, I have an attitude where I kind of see myself as kind of the rock star. And so there's really kind of an equal exchange, I think. And if you look at anybody who has an interesting life, whether they're well-known or whether they're not, when they're open to experience and they want to really soak up life and they're inquisitive and just see life as kind of this thing to just soak up, well, then they're fun, right? And there's also, as you can certainly attest to as well, Corby, there's stuff to talk about. Now, if you have somebody who's very methodical, that they don't do anything, and the best you can come up with for a psychic prediction is you see them, like, you know, getting a new couch, I mean, there's not really much to say, right? But when you deal with musicians especially, because they got their own temperament, or actors or models, and I had a lot of clients who were porn stars, I kind of... You know, I'd sit around and, I mean, this is literally the truth. When I lived in L.A., I had clients who were porn stars. We'd go to the house, I'd be playing Farmville, and we'd be eating, like, you know, chicken. I mean, it's kind of weird, but it's true. So to make a long story only sort of long, they're not that much different. Although I did have one client who was a very well-known TV producer who was kind of a pain in my ass. But excuse me. But other than that, I've never had any issues. Only one. So I think that's pretty good.
Were they the one PIA? Did they want to hear what they wanted to hear?
Yes,
were
they gave me a script. I mean, in essence, what happened was because I'm kind of bold, I won't say what you want me to tell you. I'll say what I think, right? And so she had something that she wanted to hear, and I didn't think that was the truth. And so I said something different, and so that made her mad. And, you know, well, she shouldn't have talked to me. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, I'll say this too, that a lot of people come to psychics as an insurance policy, right? They already have their future laid out, and they just want you to rubber stamp it. If I think that that mm-hmm. is the most likely future for them, then I'm going to go ahead and support that. But if I don't, I won't say that just to appease them. So there are certain people, and a lot of it, I think, a lot of being a good psychic, I think, comes from self-confidence. And I think you have to have a lot of confidence in order to do well at it. Because when you're having these conversations, a lot of people, you know, they'll kind of try to sell you on what their future should be or how to see them. And I think I'm good with really having these conversations with people. And I think there's an element of respect that we have for each other. And so, you know, I mean, it's not like I have 10 bazillion, you know, celebrity clients. That's just simply not the case. But I've had a few of them, and I like them. You know, they're kind of fun, you know. So other than the one, and it's very rare, really rare, I ever have a reading that doesn't go well, but mm-hmm. this woman just hung up on me and just, you know, that's where it goes. So.
You know, we all get them. Even if they're not famous, they're famous in their own minds. But you're supposed to tell me X, Y, Z, and I go, not. Because I don't make predictions. I don't want to tell them that on February 17th, I see an icy patch and a red door and a broken ankle. It's not interesting. I want to know what they need to do to make their life work. And so, yeah, it for me, that I don't know if, quote unquote, famous people would want to do that. They may just want the predictions. But I guess I won't know until I read somebody famous. Anybody famous out there, you want to be my guinea pig, go, baby, go.
Well, you know, there's really no difference. I mean, and I'll just say this real quickly. You know, you have to, I mean, you can't do the same reading twice. I mean, every person I do differently. I don't have like an off-the-shelf way that I approach them. I mean, as you know, you mean they have different needs. They have different personalities. They have mm-hmm. different levels of fear. They have, and so the real key to being good, I think, as a psychic is because you love the person that you're talking with. You embrace them. You really want to help them, and you really do love them, and so you have to be able to accommodate their personality, and they're going to have different needs at different points in time. So for a lot of people, especially celebrities or musicians or whatever, they're talking about TV contracts or music deals, and then you have to be very specific. I see this happening. Do I think this is going to happen? No. Do I think this tour is going to happen? No, yes, whatever. And so those, you have to go. I mean, I predicted exact dates many, many times for when certain contracts would be signed. I mean, I've done that a lot. I even predicted an exact date that I would get a contract, and it happened. I've actually done that twice. I mean, as a, you know, IT person, which is kind of cool. But for the most part, Corby, there's no difference between them and, you know, somebody you would meet at Walmart. You know, there's not much difference. That may be surprising, but I really think it's the truth.
Well, perhaps someday I will get a chance to test your theory. In the meantime, we got people out there. We got a few more minutes to break. When we come back, you can always call us. We would love to take your calls. I can do readings. The magnificent man here can do a couple of readings for us if we'd like. And the number here is 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. If you've got questions for me or for Andrew Brewer, the rock and roll psychic, If you want business readings out there, you got two of the best business folks into business. So get on the phone. Let's discuss how to have your place take off, what you need to do. For the rest of you, you got relationship questions and finances and all of that. Of course, we're here. So, Andrew, one question.
Corby, I'll give you an answer.
Deal. If you were going to explain psychic radio and the best way to do it, because I'm going to be on a panel in November, probably with David Franklin Farkas and a couple of others, about how to do good psychic radio, what would you say? What's key for you?
Well, I mean, I think you have to be real. I mean, I know that sounds like kind of a hokey answer, but I think it's the truth. I always like doing radio shows because I've done over 1,000 different radio shows at different times. And I always liked the ones where you had conversations like what you and I are doing, but it may be boring to other people. I think most people like to have shows where they can call in and talk to psychics. And I always say, well, isn't that like dull? And a friend of mine explained it to me. They go, well, you know, in some sense, it's kind of voyeuristic. You know, people get to hear what's going on with someone else. And the other thing, too, is most times there's a theme. So normally you see people call in. They're sort of all calling in about the same topic. It's uncanny how it happens so often. And hopefully what goes on with one person is transferable to somebody else. You might have a similar situation. Hopefully we provide some level of insight that is not just for that one person, but it's kind of, you know, portable for somebody else. And I think, you know, it has to be... I mean, I like different topics. Like, you and I are really into past lives. I mean, you and I definitely do the past life thing. And so I find that fascinating. And I don't like to just do the same thing. I like to have a little variety. I hope that helps.
It helps brilliantly. And we've got someone on the line. Let's see if we can get a quick one in before break. We have Francine on the line from Portland, Oregon. Francine, welcome to Empower Readings.
Hi, thanks. How are you both?
We're good. What's the question?
I'm good, thanks. The question has to do with my career. I would really like to get some insight on making a shift. I had one really nice high-level job that I went for and was a finalist but didn't get it. And I really feel like I want to make a move, but I don't know where to go or, you know, what's attractive to me. So, you know, nothing in the hopper. And I'm working, so everything's really cool, but I just feel like it's time for a change. So I was hoping to see what you were picking up about that.
I personally would be really surprised to see you make a significant change in the short term. I mean, personally, I feel like there's a stability to you, and I feel like right now the main thing for you, in my opinion, Francine, is you're sort of building up your heart chakra. Now, in English, what does that mean? It means that over the last few years, I think you've had some dents to your heart, and so you're moving into a space of personal power. I think it's a little early for you. Now, the beauty of the process for you is that you seem to me to be pretty solid in terms of self-esteem. So as you work through any romantic or anything like that may have, you know, kind of happened over the last 12 to 18 months, as you work through that, let's say springtime, then I think that's more opportune time for you. I don't feel that you're in any big rush. It doesn't seem to be an element of like you're in a sense of need in any way. And I think that the business climate in general, I think, will be more favorable next year. I think the economy is improving. I really do feel that, and I think it will get better. And I think for you, you're going to maximize that. Your throat chakra is very strong. To me, that means that your communication skills are very strong. You seem to have a very good problem-solving ability. You seem good with people. I think you maximize your kind of people skills. I mean, people skills seems to be kind of your ace in the hole. But I don't see you doing anything until after the first of the year. Does that make sense, what I'm saying, though, Francine, just as a general thing for you, the things I talked about? Does that resonate with you at all?
It does, except for the timeline, because I really feel like it's a time for me to shift and move, and it's been something I've been wanting to do for quite a while, probably for about 18 months. So I think
there's like an 18-month window. I mean, that's what pops up to me, 12 to 18 months. That's kind of where it's percolating from. I personally don't believe that that's going to happen now. I mean, we'll see. I don't feel that you'll be able to really move. You're not just going to move for the sake of moving, right?
That's right.
You're not just going to say,
that does resonate.
I'm like all over it. I'm going to quit tomorrow and go do something else. I don't see that happening. And I think for you to really effectively make this move, you're gonna build it step by step by step. I think that's going to take you a little time. I mean, it's already September.
Right.
So if we look at the first of the year, we're looking at a 90-day window. Mm-hmm. I would be very surprised to see you make a move before 2013. But that doesn't mean that you can't begin that process now. I don't see you fully executing that move until after the first of the year.
Guys, I hate to break this up, but we got a break to go to. You're with Empower Readings with Corby Midlide and the fabulous Andrew Brewer. Brewer, we will see you in about 60 seconds.
Thanks.
Ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet, and sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing, don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick, that's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy!
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year? The majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy, the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Romaine. As a former model, I used to walk runways all over the world. Paris, Milan, New York. This is Salif Diarra. As a local health worker, he walks the pathways of his village in Mali, West Africa, every day to help treat severely ill children. Like many children in the developing world, those in Salif's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children in Salif's village get the care they need to survive. And even though you can't walk in his shoes, you can help him with his work. Help one, save many. see where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Empower Readings. This is Corby Mitlide, and I have the fabulous Andrew Brewer with me. We're doing questions tonight on just about anything that you can think of. Andrew and I are good with business, and I know that there is also somebody on the line, Ann from Virginia, who actually has a past life question. Ann, tell us what's going on.
Hi, Corby.
Hey, darling.
How are you? Hi, Andy.
Ann, how are you?
I'm good, dear. How are you?
I'm good. I know, Ann.
The question I had, I have been working on cranial sacral myofascial work with a person who's working on my body, which has been, the myofascial has been real twisted and a lot of stress that I've kept inside of me. And the lower part of my body feels that it's still arrested in time. It's hard to move forward, you know. I try to do yoga, walk, but it's still, I don't know whether it's blocked chakras. I don't know if it's a past life thing, but it feels like I can't move forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course it makes sense.
Okay, Andrew, you want to take it or should I?
No, I mean, I'll talk to Ann. I mean, I think it's, when you look at any time you deal with a medical issue, right, there's typically a combination of a physiological issue and an emotional issue. And what happens is that we have to figure out which seems to be the stronger of the two, because it's an integration of the both of them. I personally think yours is more physiological. I mean, I think this is more actually a medical condition as opposed to an emotional condition. I mean, that's my opinion, in which case we would say the doctor is your best course of action. Now, from an emotional standpoint in terms of past lives and releasing, then we're going into a different arena, because now we're talking about how to make it less of a problem, right? I mean, this has impacted me a lot. So how do I change the way it impacts me? So that's a conversation that perhaps we can have. Now, when you look at people, you tend to have these things called chakras, right, as you mentioned, these little wheels, that there's seven primary wheels in the body, and they kind of light up to me. And I feel confident they also light up to Corby. And so they're the metaphors. Now, when you talk, what happens, Ann, is the things that light up to me are both your second and third chakras. Now, your second and third chakra, for those of you who don't know anything about chakras, those chakras tend to deal with, the third chakra often deals with self-esteem issues, and the second chakra really deals with kind of how you feel about life in general. It's also where that empathic ability comes from. Well, you have this empathic energy, but it's kind of clogged up. It's like think of it like this, Ann, is that your ability to pick up information about other people, you don't trust it. In essence, you don't trust yourself, and this is where the past life piece of it comes in, I believe. I do believe in past lives, and you and I have had these conversations, so you know a little about how I feel about it. But for other people, I mean, I do believe there's a past life. You make a prediction about the economy, you can say it happened, yes or no, a past life. I mean, it's subjective, we can't say. But for you, I feel that you had a past life kind of theme that continues to happen, which deals with people telling you that your own opinion is not to be trusted. You can't trust yourself. You're not qualified to trust yourself. And because of that, then the natural inclination is for the self-esteem to kind of push down against the body. If I'm not worthy to have my own, to believe in myself, then I'm going to kind of, you know, suppress that. That goes down into the stomach. It goes down into that area. Does that make sense to you, Ann, why I would say that? Does that ring true to you in any way?
It does. That's going way back, too. I mean, throughout my life, feeling that way. So it's deep-rooted, I would say, feelings. So they're just kind of like stuck there.
And what tends to happen, and you know this in a lot of ways, mean, what tends to happen, though, for people is that those themes, they find repeat occurrences. They find events in this lifetime to help rev that back up again. And I think that what's happened is that you've had events in this lifetime, and this is probably more as a child than any other time, but I think it continues, where it's a be seen and not heard, and, you know, good girls do this and little girls don't do that, and it kind of gets ingrained in there. So there's a certain rigidity that's happening with you through the spinal cord, right? There's a certain tightness. I think that tightness is what you're trying to release. Now, the body becomes habitual. It gets into a pattern. So that tightness, you know, if you have somebody that's constantly scared, they look, you know, their shoulders go up like if they were in a, you know, like in a horror movie, right? That happens. So the body takes on this armoring. I believe that you can release a lot of this, but I do think it's primarily physical, more than emotional. But the emotional adds to the tightness, and I believe that you can work that out. And truthfully, I think the way to do that is to go back and look at when you were a little girl and look at the messages you were given and say, okay, the things that Aunt Petunia told me or my parents told me, was that legitimate for me? Because lots of times what happens, the reason that people have problems and issues as they get older is because as young children, they're given these messages and they don't have a way to sort through, is that true or not? And so one of the exercises I have with people now is to say, okay, let's look at those messages that you were given and the motivation for who was saying it to you. If you were saying that to another three-year-old, would you think that that's legit? And I think if you go back into that, you'll find that a lot of those messages were more about the issues that whoever had it, I mean, it's about the person who said it, what they had within themselves rather than what's fair to you. Long story, sort of only long, a little bit. I think this is a medical thing that's going to be more done through physicians. And Corby, what do you feel about this?
It is tangential to your idea of people telling you can't do things, because I get the pictures, and there is a particular place where I see you. You are in female riding habit. Should have been side saddle, but you rode astride because we've got the skirts and the top hat. So think of it, turn of the century-ish, and you got your foot on that side, caught in the stirrup, fell and dragged until somebody stopped you, pulling the joint out. I don't know how you feel about horses now, but you were so intent on showing them, yes, I can do this, but as a result, you were never able to ride again, and they never let you forget it.
Now, I like horses.
Okay.
So I'm not afraid of them. Maybe heights a little bit, but okay.
No, that's where I go for you. And remember that you've had hundreds of past lives, so this is the one that specifically when you said problems with pains in your leg, that is what I saw. I think that Andrew's answer is on target, though.
And Annie, how do you feel about this, though? How do you feel?
Well, I think the emotional, the physical now is because of all the emotional. But I think the emotional gets dumped into your body and it stays there, and it does become a habit on what you think. Because I do believe it does stem from childhood, and it's I don't know whether I need to go talk to someone about that to just do some hypnosis to release that, because I think I'm holding on. Even though I don't think I am, I know I am, because it feels like you're carrying the weight of the world.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is that, you know, you have these natural tendencies, and they're like magnets, you know? And so I think what's happened is that none of us are 100% conscious of why we make decisions or, you know, it's just not possible. And so there are these things that are part of your mental framework that are triggering emotions you may not be conscious of. And you may not even be conscious that these emotions are being, you know, ignited.
Yeah.
But when your body gets into a pattern, you know, if you had a knee injury and you start to walk differently and, you know, you mess up the other knee, those kinds of things are what we're talking about. And I feel for you that maybe someone like even chiropractic or maybe things like that might be of help to you. But you can do both. I think you can do a lot of this on your own, truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just going back into the memory bank in this lifetime, more so than in a past life, thinking about, as a young girl, let's say 10, 12 backwards, the messages you were given as to how you were supposed to act, because I think you've been taught to be more rigid than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Think about who said them and why they said them, and then flip it and say, if I was saying that to another 10-year-old girl, would that be appropriate for her? And if not, is it appropriate for you? You know.
So that would be journal writing.
Yeah, I mean, whatever way you have to get into it, the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
And if that, excuse me, if that's your method, that's the easiest for you, then that's what I would suggest. I think it, you know, all of us, you know, as we look at ourselves, we discover so many things about ourselves. I mean, you impress me as being pretty self-aware anyway. And mm-hmm. and also, you're motivated to do better. That's the real beauty of you. One of the real magical things about you is that you're motivated both within your business and within your personal life to improve. You're not complacent. You're not willing to just say, okay, this is the way it is and nothing can be done about it. You know, you have that attitude
yeah.
already. So the chances of you making real progress with this are really high because of that. But I still feel kind of instinctively that this is something more for a doctor than a psychic. That's my opinion.
Mm. Okay. All righty. Well, thank you so much, both of you.
You're welcome.
Always good to talk to you.
Good talking to you, too. Bye-bye.
So you make a very, very good point, Andrew, and that's something when you come up with a code of ethics in the Terrorist Certification Board of America, you know, they make you write your own. You have to remind people, we're not doctors, we're not lawyers, we're not bankers. We can tell you what we see, but the end result is it really is up to you. The way you went into a lot of the emotional stuff, the childhood stuff, I think because this is someone that you were familiar with, you were more able to do that than I was. I know that when I do consulted shows or one-on-ones, the emotional stuff comes in. That's why we call ourselves intuitive counselors. But I tend on the radio to just grab what I see and put it out there for whatever it's worth. We've got another business question. This is Sue from Ithaca. Sue, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, I'm turning you over to the man, my darling.
Well, you have a really nice energy. You have a really kind of happy, vibrant energy. That's beautiful.
Right
from the get-go, just from your voice, you have a really strong throat chakra. That's very positive. You also have a really strong second chakra. So before we even go down any path, if your fifth chakra and your second chakra, because people kind of like present themselves to me through these chakras, right? So
mm-hmm.
if your fifth chakra and your second chakra is the way, that's kind of an unusual pattern. That's normally somebody who is kind of a bulldog in one sense, somebody that's very persistent, that, you know, if you want something, you're going to get it, but you're not rude about it. I mean, these are normally people who are pretty ambitious, who are pretty balanced. And so there's a definite drive in you, a drive to excel within you, but you have a really strong throat chakra too, so you're able to be sort of assertive, but really tactful about it. Does that make sense why I would say that to you?
Yes.
So if you're laughing, then it definitely makes sense. I mean,
yeah, it does.
When I was in business, I was really good at, I called it black market project management, where I would get people to tell me things they wouldn't tell anybody else, and I would kind of do the Tom Sawyer thing, and they wanted to whitewash the fence for me. You have that vibe to me. So you have a very strong ability to get your way. I mean, I would say you're a really persuasive character. That's what I would say about you. So that being said, what would you like to talk about?
Well, the first thing I wanted to say is that I am a rock star in my own mind, so it's perfect that, you know, I'm talking with you.
Well, you kind of have that vibe. You know, fifth and second chakra, that's kind of... I mean, that's not for the meek. I mean, that's a very powerful, you have a powerful energy to me. I would say that in whatever world you're in, that you're considered kind of a star in your world. I would think that that's true, and I realize that modesty and all this makes it tough to acknowledge that. But I think that's true, and I think you would agree with that, true?
Yes. In my own little world, yes.
So in a corporate setting, because I kind of feel you have a kind of a corporate setting, you're well-respected. You have some power. And on top of that, you know, your name gets, it's your name. See, I love this. You have, your name will kind of get bandied about. And so when they start, your name has a significance, that's when you're a rock star. You have that.
Yeah.
So it's in both of our minds now.
Yeah, my corporation is actually a middle school.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I see you as having a very corporate energy. Now, I realize that there's a certain dynamic, but you have a powerful energy to me. I really do feel that.
Okay. But I'm currently a substitute teacher. But I also help with the kids on their musicals, and I help with the costumes. One of the things that a couple of the teachers have said to me is, please don't come to my class because you disrupt it. Because all of the kids who know me, which at this point is most of them, see me and want to run to me and say hi and give me a hug, and, you know, it's all Mama Sue, Mama Sue. Yeah, so I'm, whenever they know I'm around.
Do you want to be a teacher?
Say again?
Do you want to be a teacher long term?
No.
Because I'm going to say right now that I don't believe you're going to be a substitute teacher for, like, the rest of your life. I don't see that happening at all. So right. I believe that you will go into a corporate setting. I believe that your people skills, I see you in corporations. That's how I see you. And to me, that's where you're going to end up. I don't believe you're going to be a substitute teacher. That does not ring true to me. I mean, I'm sure that's what you are now because you just told me. But it doesn't ring true to me that that's your essence. It seems like it's like a baby step into something different. So when you see, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do?
Well, I've been asking myself that same question. I've been toying with starting my own company as a clothes maker, you know, building clothes for people, also making jewelry, working with gemstones and their properties and getting them to people who, you know, could benefit from the properties of the stones themselves. But the substitute teaching kind of came about because, you know, we had an extra little paycheck. And right now I am a short-term sub, which means I'm in the same place for about a month, which hasn't happened before, but it's pretty cool.
So I don't have to be an astronaut, and I apologize. Your question is you. So I'm going to say right off that I don't see you staying as a substitute school teacher, and I really don't feel that being a jeweler or those kinds of things is what you're really going to stick with. I mean, it might be something that you do, and it might be something you enjoy, but it doesn't clang my bell, and I mean that in the most literal sense. I feel that you will get into a corporate environment because of your ability to get along with people, excuse me, that you will kind of blend in that corporate environment. I think you would do really well in a highly structured environment. I think that you will ultimately, within the next 2 years, because it's going to take you a while. You're going to kind of do the mosey thing for a bit. Within the next 2 years, I believe that you will then end up in an environment that might be somewhat customer service kind of, have that kind of vibe to it. But that's only an entry point. Within the next 5-6 years, I think that you will, again, just the image that I'm seeing of you, where your name and you kind of have a reputation and you're able to get things done. I think because people are going to naturally gravitate to you, that you will do very well in business. And I believe that that's who you are, and I believe that that's what you'll do, and I believe that's how it'll all play out. And I and the sub thing is a temporary gig. So how do you feel about me saying that?
I live in a very small town that doesn't really have any corporations, so it's interesting where this will go.
Life has its own rhythm. I don't see you in a small town. I don't see you having a small life. I see you being ambitious. I believe I'm right. Now, only time will tell. But I think there is how are you going to keep them, down the farm once they've been to Paris? I have a feeling that's going to work with you, too. And I mean that metaphorically, right? I feel that you're moving because you're not emotionally ready to let go of one thing to move into something different. You're not there yet. But I believe, because that's what people want, right? They want the psychic prediction of where they're going to end up. I believe that you are going to break away from your current environment, your current attitude about yourself, in a way, the ceiling you have and what you can accomplish. I think your attitude about what you can do is going to change over time over the next 2 years. I think it would not surprise me to see you 2 years from now go someplace like a bigger place. And I still feel that that's what's going to happen. I do believe that.
Sue, make some sense there?
Yes.
Good.
I would be very optimistic about it, though, Sue. I mean, I feel really good about you. You do have a kind of a rock star energy. I like that. I mean, your energy is very strong to me. And when people have very high energy, life will not let them be in one little place.
Right.
You're bigger. I believe that. I do believe that. I'm not just saying that to be polite. It's really what I think. I really do believe that, for sure.
Guys, I hate to break up this little mutual love fest, but we got 2 minutes to close. Sue, I'm glad you were able to call and get some of Andrew's wisdom here.
Oh, definitely. I'm glad, too. Thank you so much, both of you.
You have a
You're
good
welcome.
Week. Bye-bye.
So, I mean, it has been a pleasure just to sit back and listen to the mellifluous voice and golden tones here, not to mention the good readings. Andrew, real quick, where are people going to find you?
I'm a big boy now. I actually use my name on my website instead of Rock and Roll Psychic, although that will still work. But it's Andrew-Brewer, AndrewBrewer.com. I will still do readings, but you can no longer just go and hit a button and do it. You have to actually email me and tell me who you are. But it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. Time goes fast. I mean, I hope I haven't, just rambled too much. I really had a good time. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure having you, and it's always good if somebody else rambles instead of me because people can get tired of the same ramble. So there you are. All right, everybody, next week, Sherita Starr will talk about the fall equinox. Have a fabulous week, and remember to cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly because that's what we do here at Empower Readings. See you next week.